This too will pass is good news when things are going badly. It's bad news when things are going as you want them to.
Elizabeth Elliot says, Hollywood's notion of love is millions of miles from the slightest comprehension of what the love of God is all about. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of Quest for Love and Love Has a Price Tag. Helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life, here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about the realized will of God. There are times in life when we feel we've arrived. An important event has taken place. We've gone off to college at last. We've passed an exam. We've qualified for this professor's course. We've graduated. Marriage, perhaps. The job that you've dreamed of having. We've reached certain goals. Our dreams are realized. Things are working as we had hoped at last. And if you're as old as I am now, you can look back on many such times, but you can also see that each is only a stage on the journey. This too will pass is good news when things are going badly. It's bad news when things are going as you want them to. The good things will pass too. As Ernest Hemingway said, if two people love each other, it can never have a happy ending. We've been reading from the biography of Jim Elliot, a book called Shadow of the Almighty, and we left off where he was heading for Ecuador. He was packing up to leave, and he was very excited, and he had his passage on a freighter down the west coast to South America. He had exactly the right amount of money that he needed to pay for that passage, $315 given to him in five different gifts within the space of 24 hours. The realized will is a phrase that occurred again and again in Jim's letters and diaries. And finally, he got to Ecuador. He spent about 6 months living in Quito, learning Spanish, and then was able to get to the eastern jungle, which was the goal of his lifetime. The desire of his heart was to work in the eastern jungle with the Quechua Indians. And on September 3rd, 1952, he wrote this in his journal. Shandia, as I write, my praise mingles with the steady rush of the Atung Yaku. Those are the Quechua words for the big river, running like pure silver into the jungle under a full moon. Left Shelmeta at 3 this afternoon in a sky of scattered clouds. Landed at Pano around 3:30 and made the walk to beautiful Shandia in just 2.5 hours. The moon rose as I stepped into the clearing with Eladio, the schoolteacher, and two carriers, prognostically telling me of the faithfulness of God. Surely life is full in his will and brings promise of good things yet for us here. In spite of my wait since Friday, first for the teacher and then for the plane, the thought kept recurring as I came along the trail. Right on time, right on time, God's time. So with much joy we have arrived at last at the destination decided on in the will of God, when at Wycliffe in 1950, and my joy is full, full, full. Then on October the 27th he wrote to me, "This I know, that if next year is as full of sweet surprises and things to be wondered at as has been this last one, and I have no reason now to expect anything less, the situations are analogous in their impossibilities, it will be but stronger evidence of the good hand of God upon and over us, keeping his promises and confirming all we have hoped in him. Is it not, for all its sting, a wonderful way to live, Betty? To dream and want and pray almost savagely, then to commit and wait and see him quietly pile all dreams aside and replace them with what we could not dream, the realized will. The realized will. Now maybe you're wondering, how was I feeling at the time when Jim was feeling so contented? Well, I was still in Quito trying to learn Spanish, not sure exactly where I was going to go to start working on a jungle Indian language, pretty sure that I was not going to be with Jim. He hadn't proposed to me. We had been in love for years, but it was still the single life for him. And so, as he says, is it not a wonderful way to live? But he inserted that little phrase for all its sting. There was a sting, all right, probably more for me than for him. I suppose it's always that way. A man means more to a woman than a woman can ever mean to a man. As one of my friends used to say to her husband, I'm your wife, but you are my life. And there's a sense in which that's the way God intended it to be, I believe, because the Bible tells us that the woman was made for the man, not the man for the woman. A man always has several things going in his life, and a woman may have her entire life wrapped up in her husband if she has one, or in wishing and longing for a husband if she doesn't have one. I know a lot of women who seem to spend their lives moping and longing for what has not been given. So I have to confess that I was not feeling quite so elated about the whole thing as Jim was. After all, he was where he had always dreamed of being. I was left behind in Quito, the capital city, which was certainly not the jungle. I was still hacking away at Spanish, hoping and praying that someday God was going to bring Jim and me together, and what was I to do in the meantime? But I can look back now and see him quietly pile all dreams aside and replace them with what we could not dream, the realized will. If I had known then the whole story up to the present moment of my life, I would have shrunk from the sight. I would have said, I can't take it. I can't go through that. It's not worth it. I'll collapse. I'll disintegrate. I'll just die. But I can look back now and say, Lord, it was good. It was right. It was in your time. The realized will. And then Jim wrote a couple of months later, and you can see that the routine and perhaps the heat and the irritations of jungle life, the sameness, the familiarity, the monotony, were beginning to get to him so that he wasn't feeling quite so elated as he did when he wrote that first letter. On December 4th, he wrote, somehow this month, especially with its rush of pressures, I have felt lost without you, Bet. Felt like the world was going by in a whirl of wonder, and I was dazedly letting it go by, in body participating, but somehow the me standing apart looking for something that didn't show in all the wonder, and aware that that something was you. It all goes over my head, it seems, and I go through the motions of keeping in the tide. However, if anyone were watching closely, he would know by the quiet sigh in a rowdy game of volleyball, the faraway glance upriver and over the treetops, from mid-current to the clouds away off to the west, and by the sudden creaking in our moonlit room as I roll to the other side of the narrow cot in an attempt to terminate a longing flight of the imagination, he would know that I was not really all there where I seemed to be. Oh, what an ache wanting you can bring, when I knew that the wanting itself is good, right, even God-granted, but realize that now it is wisely God-denied, and that he has not let me know all the wisdom of the denial. But I believe, and it is this that lets the living go on, the volleyball, the swimming, and the sleeping, and keeps my arms moving and my lips making sounds, while most of me is with you. He wasn't feeling nearly so exuberant at that point. He had a little framed picture of me, which I had given him after my graduation from college. He said, your picture has been a great help. It depicts you as I like to think of you, longly molded with clear, quiet eyes. It speaks peace to a strong emotion in me, lending an antiquity to my thoughts, an old knowledge, a white-headed patience, as it brings back the dark oak chest of drawers in the dingy apartment in Chester where it stood, or the bird's eye maple at home, or the nightstand at Ceballos' house in Quito, the dozens of times looking up sideways from a suitcase it has surprised me. The picture makes it seem as if it has been forever with us, through everything, the way it is now, and seems to say, "Take it easy, Jim, we're not through with the story yet, and you have no basis for believing it will turn out a tragedy." Still, I do, Betty, I do fear sometimes, like a worrying mother, that something will happen to you, and I will lose you. And then what would I do? Where would I be when I wasn't where I seem to be? Where would my imagination go when I went to sleep? There could be nothing else in life like this for me. Funny, but I never think of my having the accident, and your losing me. The realized will of God. It's good and acceptable and perfect. That's what Paul said to the Romans. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Then you will learn, as you mature, that the will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect. I am one of millions who can testify to the truth of that. Some of you know the end of this love story of Jim and me, which we'll come to in the next day or two. And even if you know the end of the story, will you believe me when I say that I wouldn't have had it any other way?
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliot. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.